Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a late night edition of Gaming Uncensored, and I say late night because we're old.
Yeah, I might not make it through. I'm not even kidding. It's 8:24 right now, by the way. 9:30 is really pushing it for me at this point.
It's 8:24 and we are tired. Although I'm pumped up because I'm grumpy, so we're gonna be okay for about the next hour or so. But I wouldn't really expect any more than about an hour because we're old.
Yes.
On the old side of things, it is 8:24, so theoretically, there's a little girl in bed somewhere.
Theoretically, yeah. I just left that whole situation and hoping that it goes well. The story of every night, basically, but definitely the story of tonight.
Well, that should be fun. We'll see how long one of us goes before the sexy sidekick calls and says, you got to do something about this.
Yes.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm glad to be here. I've missed doing this show. It's been a while. We've had a rough couple weeks. Lots of stuff going on. And with all that being said, what's up with you, sir?
Not a ton. It's adulting week. We were talking before we fired up the mics of just the ridiculous adulting stuff that we're going through. We were planning on doing this show earlier in the day, and then my house sprung a leak yesterday, and so had a dude that was gonna come by anyway. Then I had to schedule him to come by to take a look at this and fix some other stuff, and just being an adult, having a mortgage, being a homeowner, just fun stuff like that. Kind of takes over your life at some point. Then throw a kid and a job on top of it, and it's that's where my time goes. I've not played a shred of gaming.
This is probably not supposed to be public knowledge, but I'm getting ready to go to a wedding on Sunday, and that's kind of a big deal in my house. My sister is getting married on Sunday, and so we're driving to Austin in the morning to go and do that on Sunday, and so we're a little stressed out over here.
Yep.
You know, because that's kind of a big deal.
Yep.
It's been a while since you guys did that, but it's kind of a big deal. So,
And it's a nutso time to travel right now. So, you got all that on top of it.
Yeah. It's really insane. Luckily, I don't get out of the car. Once I get in the car, I'm in. So, I'm feeling pretty good about that. But that is happening in the morning. And so we're squeezing a show in before I leave the house. I have played a few more games than you. Not many, but I've played a few. And I have a couple of things that I want to discuss with you. because one of the games that I played this week and finished, believe it or not, I still know how to finish a game.
That's Firewatch. A rarity in Gaming Uncensored world.
Yes, yes. But I did get through Firewatch.
Very nice.
And Chad's sitting over there snickering, going, yeah, like it's really that hard. It's a walking simulator, but I did finish it.
That true to Jamie Jordan fashion came out 5 years ago or whatever.
Yes. Yes, it did. I play old games, what can I tell you? But in my defense, that was a Duff purchase that just happened recently. Thank you, Duff. But I finished Firewatch this week, and I'm surprised because I look at the time when I finished it and noted that I had 12 hours in Firewatch, which I was under the impression that was about a six-hour game. And Steam actually says 13, but an hour that I know is pause time.
Sure.
So I'm wondering what I did that took so long. I thoroughly enjoyed the game, but it did take 12 hours.
You just walk slowly.
Apparently.
I mean, that's about all you could do, right?
I don't know what it is that I did, but it was thoroughly entertaining. It's a little freaky there at the end. There's some weird stuff going on. And it's sad.
It is a little sad.
Like, Firewatch is pretty deep. I didn't expect the deepness of Firewatch, yeah. But it is very deep.
It gets heavy.
Gets very heavy. And like, when you get to the end, and you get to the place where you've been trying to get for the entire game, because there's a girl over there, you get there, and you go up there, and he puts the headset on, and she's talking, and all I can think is, they gotta do a Firewatch 2. Like, I don't know how you do that, but they gotta do a Firewatch 2.
Yeah.
Because these characters are compelling.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the whole thing with the game. The characters are compelling. The writing's great. The voice acting's great. It's all good.
Yeah, which, I mean, is most of what the game is. There's just not a lot outside of that. And so, yeah, they really do have to be well done, and they are very well done. It's a fantastic title.
It's great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I really meant way more games this week. I really did, and we have Game Pass in the show notes. And I got some issues with Game Pass, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I was really, really looking forward to being on a shuttle before the show back to the Outer Worlds. Did that happen? No! And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Fair enough. I'll just mention really quickly before we jump in, we'll talk about Game Pass a little bit. We've got tons and tons of Xbox news because we got the kind of Xbox news dump that we've been waiting for. Not the PlayStation 1 yet, but we can kind of speculate on what that is. So that'll be a lot of the show. There was also a Ubisoft event, whatever they call it, Ubisoft Forward, I think is the name of it now. That happened today, and so that's fresh. We also had this big Nintendo Mario 35th anniversary announcement stuff, so we'll get into that. Some of which is pretty weird. There's new graphics cards coming from Nvidia that are nutso, and so we'll talk about that. It's a lot of news, so we should probably get into that.
And I'm so proud because I saw most of it.
Yes.
Like, I stumbled across most of it, so I'm so proud of myself. Yep.
Big stuff. Before we do that, big thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh Spider, Hector, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. I love that I have to stop and take a breath in that list of names. So thank you guys so much for supporting us, for supporting the show. If you'd like to support us as well, you can do that by going by GamingUncensored.com and clicking that Become a Patron link up there near the top of the page. Give us money, because we're about to talk about things we need to spend money on. And so,
yes!
That would be a good thing. So, that said, shall we get into the news?
Absolutely. Let's go.
So let's start, obviously, with Xbox, because we have confirmed price points and details about the launch for the Series X and the Series S, which is now official and is a real thing that we know details about. And we'll get into that here in just a second. So let's start with the Series X, because honestly, that's the thing we don't need to talk about as much, because we know most of the details around it already. The price is, I think, what we expected it to be. It's $499. That's I feel like probably the sweet spot. It's a beast of a console, and so any less than that seemed overly optimistic. It was not unthinkable that the thing would be $449 or $599 or whatever, and it's not that, which I think is really, really good news. And so $499 for the Xbox Series X. The launch date is November 10th. Pre-orders open up really soon, September 22nd. So if you want to get a pre-order in, you can do that on September 22nd. And interesting, and we'll get back to this and talk about this a little bit more here in a bit. There's also a payment plan for it that you can pay $35 a month for 2 years, get the console plus the full Xbox All Access, which is Game Pass and Xbox Live and everything. All the online stuff comes with that. And so if you break that out over the 2 years, you pay off the console and pay a little less than $15 a month for the Xbox All Access, which is it's a pretty solid deal to me, right? Obviously, you got to keep paying for the Xbox All Access after that, but you have the console paid off in 24 months, and you get the Game Pass and everything else with that. So that's the price point. That's what it looks like. Again, not shocking, right? It seems like a good deal.
That's a really good deal. But I have a couple questions, because I assume that we're adults. I mean, we're adults, right?
I assume.
so the reason I ask this is that there was a time in our lives that we really needed a payment plan. I don't feel like we do anymore. So I'm wondering, is there a way to pay for the thing, just pay for the thing, and get the Game Pass and Xbox Live and all that also? Or do you have to do the payment plan to get all that?
I mean, you can definitely do it separately. I don't know what the price is for the Xbox All Access, if it's a little bit more. Because I believe it's just $15 a month at this point for all those things, and they're changing stuff, and so it's super hard to keep up with it. So I'm not entirely sure,
but that's why I'm asking, because I'm not sure either.
I think it'll save you a few bucks if you do the whole plan. I think that the Game Pass / Xbox Live thing, which, by the way, I haven't seen anywhere confirmed. We talked about the rumor a while back that they were getting rid of Xbox Live as a platform for like multiplayer games and that kind of stuff. I haven't seen that confirmed anywhere at this point. If that were the case, then it may change things a little bit more. But assuming that all stays the same, I'm trying to see right now, just really quick, what the Game Pass Ultimate is. It's $14.99 a month right now. And so I think I did the math earlier. I want to say it's like $14.15 a month on the payment plan. So it's literally less than a dollar a month difference that you're looking at if you go on the payment plan with the console, or if you just buy the console outright and then pay for 2 years of
right
Game Pass Ultimate. Now, I don't know, is there a year, like, can you pay it all for a year and get a deal on that or something else? You know, like, there's probably other workarounds that you could save a buck here or there. Ultimately, it's probably about the same price. You're probably not paying anything drastically different, whether or not you buy the console just up front or if you do 24 months of payments plus Game Pass, whatever.
The reason I'm asking this is because I have been, for a couple of days, been trying to find a way to figure out if there was a way to pay for Game Pass for PC for like a year and just be done with it.
Yep.
You know, because we're going to talk about that later in the show notes. And that's kind of one of those things that I like about EA Access. I know that I'm going to pay that every year. I know what that is. And it's a weird psychological thing to pay it and know you paid it and you're done. I know it's the same price. I get it. I would just like to pay for a whole year.
Yeah.
And at this point, they have not offered that. I'm wondering if that's going to start.
Maybe. We'll get into that a little bit more, like you said, in just a second, because it's going to be an item here in a bit. But maybe. Now hold that thought, and let's talk about the Series S really quick, and then we'll circle back around to it. So the other big announcement, other than the price point and launch date, was the existence of this other console that we knew about. And so now it's official. They've posted pictures about it. We also have a price point on that. It has the same release date, obviously. It is much smaller. So it's the Xbox Series S, as we figured it would be called. It is much smaller. It is truly next gen. And so we'll talk about the specs about it and compare it to both the Xbox and the PS5 here in just a second, because that's interesting. But the kind of important things for it to be able to play quote unquote next gen games, it has the solid state drive, the upgrade processor, and so it's going to be able to play, at least theoretically at this point, all the same games. What they haven't really talked about with it yet is the one thing that we had kind of thought was a for sure about it, was it's going to be this kind of hybrid streaming console as well. Obviously it still can do that, but that's not what they're selling it on. It's still a kind of just straight out of the box gaming device that you don't necessarily need an internet connection to play a game, though it is diskless, and so you will need an internet connection to download the games because you can't put a disc in the thing. Even if you have a disked Xbox, you still need an internet connection because everything has a 50 gig patch when you get it. So it doesn't really matter.
Oh boy, we're going to talk about 50 gig patches later. That's going to be a thing.
So the Series S is $299, so a full $200 cheaper than the Series X, which is the kind of big thing here, right? Like, that's a pretty killer price point for a quote next gen console. I say quote, but it really is a next gen kind of game. We'll talk about the differences momentarily. But $299 is a pretty stellar price point. Also has the same payment plan thing that you can do with it. That is $25 a month instead of $35 a month. You get a Series S, plus you get the year of Game Pass, and the math works out the same way. And so you're paying a little bit less, slightly less than if you were to do it separately. And so let's really quickly, the box is a lot smaller if you care about that. You can see a bunch of mock-ups online right now. But let's talk about the specs of the thing, because I think that's where it's really interesting. What differentiates this, that $200 price point between this and the Series X. So first of all, the CPU is the same. And so the raw processing should be fairly identical between the Series X and the Series S, which is an important thing of just making sure you have compatibility between these two devices of what games they can play and everything else. And so that's good news. The drive, it does have a solid state drive, and so that's obviously a big part of next gen to be able to do these quick loading things and the kind of auto resume and all that kind of stuff. So it does have the solid state drive. It is a 500 gig instead of, or 500, yeah, 500 gig instead of a terabyte drive. So it's half the size. They have confirmed you'll be able to do expansions with it. But that 500 gigs is going to get eaten through really, really fast on my PlayStation 4 right now, which is 500 gigs. I can have two or three games installed at a time, and I'm out of space. And so you're, even with a terabyte, you're looking at a decent amount of data management to kind of keep space on it. At 512 gigs for next gen games, you're going to eat through that pretty quickly. And I would guess there will come a point in the next couple years where that's one game, right? Like with all the system stuff and everything else that you're going to have on there, whatever other apps and that kind of stuff that goes along with it, you're probably not going to get two or three AAA games on that solid state drive. So something to consider there with the Series S, that it's a little bit more limited. But the big difference is going to be in the graphical processing power. And so this is where the Series S is pretty drastically different than the Series X. Just the raw numbers of, if you want to get into teraflops and all that kind of stuff, it's significantly lower. But what that equates into is that the Series S isn't set up to do 4K at 120 frames per second. That's what the Series X is like. That's what its output is supposed to be. The Series S is a 1440p device. And that's where you save $200 on it, essentially. There's other little things, I'm sure, but the biggest thing I can see is you get half the solid drive state drive space, and you get a maxed resolution at 1440 instead of 4K. And so if you don't have a 4K screen, save $200. And so it's really, the question is, how important is that 4K resolution and that high frame rate at 4K resolution, how important is that to you? Is it $200 important?
The thing that I'm struggling with is that I want to say this is a big deal and, oh yeah, it's cheaper and we can go get one or whatever. I still don't want one. Still, I don't need one. And so yeah, that's a good price, and I'm glad they're doing what they're doing. But as I thought, it's been really interesting over the last 3 weeks or whatever watching the Facebook page, because I think pretty much everybody feels the same way. The cheaper console is good because it's there and the option's there and that's great or whatever. But I feel like unless you got an 8-year-old kid that really doesn't know the difference, especially with the payment plans, we're talking about $10 difference with the payment plans. I don't know how many of these are going to get sold realistically.
I'm going to disagree with you on both those points. I'm totally in on the Series S. It's basically a no-brainer for me. I'll tell you why in just a second. But I would predict right now that this will handily outsell the Series X. I don't know if 2-1. But I think it'll pretty drastically outsell the Series X, especially early on, because nobody has 4K screens still. I mean, some people do. People that care a lot about gaming and put a bunch of money into it.
Yeah,
Chad. But I don't, and I care a lot about gaming, you know? and honestly, like, I mean, I've seen 4K resolution. I haven't played a game on it, and so I don't know if actually having a controller in my hand and playing a game in 4K resolution is going to, like, blow my mind in a new way. But I've seen 4K resolution, and it's great. I mean, it's, you know, I dig it, whatever. But I just, like, for a $200 difference, and I also need to go out and buy a new screen to plug it into, because I don't have a screen in my house that's going to be able to do what it does. Like, I'm just, like, I don't care that much about that. The games now, look really pretty. Like, PlayStation 4 games look really pretty on my 1080p monitor. You know, like, it just, like, I want to upgrade because I want them to look prettier, but, like, it's just not going to be that big of a difference.
Okay, so I know what your argument's going to be, and I agree. The Game Pass Ultimate's a big deal. And if you buy a Series S for no other reason than that, I can see it. I mean, because Game Pass Ultimate by itself is worth it.
Yeah.
We talked about this last show. If you buy the box just for that, it's worth it.
Yeah. And
but
go ahead.
That's and I think they know that's their main selling point.
100%. And this is why I think that's true, and why for me, for specifically for Xbox, it's a no-brainer, is that I just don't care about much of their software that's exclusive, right? Like, I Halo's fine. I'm great. Halo, I'll play it when it comes out, but, like, it's not in my top whatever number of franchises or games or anything like that. And that's their flagship game, right? Like, they just don't have anything that's first party that I must have, unlike Sony, which has all kinds of stuff first party that I must have. But what Microsoft has is exactly what you're saying. It has Game Pass, and that makes it such a great place to play everything that pops up on there, which is one of the things that we love about it on PC, is there's just games that we talked about in the last show, like Flight Sim, that I wouldn't pick up otherwise, but I had a really good time playing it for my $5 a month at this point of Game Pass. And it was fun. And that, you know, like, it felt worth it to me. And so if I can have a box that I get access to those games and to give away our next story, EA games, because Microsoft also announced that EA Play is going to now be included with Game Pass at no additional cost. And so all the games that are on EA Play are now also going to be on your Game Pass, and you don't have to keep
now,
paying
for
it. Now,
hold up. Here's my quote that I did not catch when I was reading through.
Uh-huh.
Is this the premium of EA Play?
That's what I don't know either. It's, yeah, I'm not sure about that, because EA just changed everything about their thing, and so, yeah, I'm not positive about that. I'm looking to see if it makes that clear, and it just it's not the premium, because it's saying you get access to trials for games up to 10 hours.
So it's basically what we have now on the PC,
right?
Included with Game Pass,
right? So you don't have to pay for that anymore, because it's now going to be in Game Pass, which we'll get to that in just a second, because it evens itself out. But if you have, you know, Game Pass Ultimate, because you have the console and you have access to all these Game Pass game or EA Play games that are on there anyway, and they'll cycle through, and so you can play, you know, 10 hours of Madden right now, and then in 6 months, Madden will land on EA Play, and you can play it as much as you want to or whatever. And so, it expands that library to the biggest publisher of third-party titles, right? I think EA is probably still the biggest publisher. And again, not all EA games, but a lot of EA games and that 10-hour trial access to EA games and all that good stuff. And so suddenly the Xbox just turns into me to the most logical place to play third-party stuff, because it's all going to be included in that subscription. Maybe not everything, but a lot of stuff's going to be included in that subscription. And so now I want a PlayStation 5. That's undoubtable, because I want all these PlayStation exclusives that we love so much. And so that's a no-brainer. I've been waiting for the compelling thing to get me on the Xbox bandwagon, a $300 console that gives me a subscription fee on top of that. So, again, we're still talking about a good chunk of change here, but gives me access with Game Pass to all these games. And that's all I'm paying for Microsoft exclusives, for all the other games, third-party stuff that's landing on Game Pass, and now with the addition of EA. And I'm sure we're going to see more developers jump on board with Game Pass in the near future. I think I got to get one of these Series S's, because it's going to work on what I have. One day I'll upgrade to a Series X when I get a 4K screen. But until then, $25 a month for a next-gen box that's going to play third-party stuff, and that's what the subscription is, $25 a month, both for the hardware and for 2 years for the service. They've done it. They've made it compelling to me, right? And okay, that's so, the thing that I was really shocked by.
Okay, so it is compelling because I have an accessibility controller in my house.
Yep.
Which is going to get a lot more use at this point.
Yes.
Because we can plug that S into my screen, which is the main reason that the accessibility controller is not getting used a lot at this point, because it's hard to play it on the big screen, even with the Raspberry Pi. You got to jump through a lot of hoops, sure, and blah, blah. So the S for that... That's going to be the ultimate gaming machine for both of us. But I will say this, it brings up a very interesting question. We have NVIDIA news coming up, okay? And I said to you earlier in the week, I'm looking at a rebuild. Okay, so you as a console gamer, I'm talking about you, because me, my hands don't work.
Sure.
Right? So you as a console gamer, if you have the Series S,
yep,
do you have a reason to build another PC? Because I do. I don't really feel like I have a choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I have the accessibility controller, and that's great, but I'm not going to be as capable with it as I am with a mouse and keyboard. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
And so I gotta have another box. My question is to you.
It's a good question. The one thing that would be a variable in that to me needing to upgrade my rig is VR, right? Like that's the one side of things that we do. We really enjoy. We don't do enough of, but we should do more of that. That really, especially my rig, really, really pushes it. I, still, for the most part, whatever game I can run fine. My rig's getting pretty dated at this point, but not to the point that it's having super trouble. It doesn't have ray tracing or stuff like that. But I can get console access to that stuff now, you know, and so I don't need my PC necessarily to do that. Of course, it can look better on a PC than it's going to on these consoles still, but it's still, for me, it's that point of diminishing returns and the amount of cost that you're going to put into it, because these video cards we'll talk about in a little bit are going to cost more than these consoles are. And so, and it's just the video card aspect of those. And so, it for me, it's just VR. Everything else I could be mostly happy with on consoles. And, you know, there's a handful of games that are PC titles to me. But honestly, those kind of games, like I think of something like Civilization. I would never play Civ on a console. Like, that just sounds horrific. But Civ's not a game that pushes your system hard either, you know? And there's a few, sure, that I'm sure we can think of that would be both ones that you would consider PC-specific games that would also really, really push your hardware. But a lot of them, you know, like the gameplay that works well on PC, at least in my mind, that doesn't work well on consoles, often doesn't correlate with also needing a beast of a rig. And so I can have a good rig that will run the games that I want to play on PC, and I can have an Xbox that's going to run all this third-party stuff and look pretty, and I can have a PlayStation 5 that's going to run all the PlayStation exclusives and look really pretty.
So,
and you know, again, it's a bunch of money, but... That makes a lot of sense to me, you know, as a person that both lives in the PC gaming world and in the console gaming world. Like, that seems like a logical way to live in both of those worlds. And Honestly, I'd probably play a lot more on Xbox than I currently play on PC. You know, even just like one of the things I love about Game Pass is just, you know, a bunch of the kind of arcadey, side-scrollery, simple, you know, whatever those types of games were that I end up playing with a controller anyway, that if I had a console to play them on, I'd probably just play them on console instead of PC, because it feels a little bit more natural to me for whatever reason to play with a controller on a console. And so that would shift a little bit, but ultimately I don't think it would change a ton.
So here's my next question. We're about to go off the rails right here, because it just occurred to me listening to you talk. We know what the date is. This thing's coming up like next week, right? But with the date being what it is, my next question to you is, where are you going to play Cyberpunk?
Yeah, I've been going to play Cyberpunk on console the whole time. That hasn't really changed, unless, you know, somebody drops a couple thousand dollars in my lap and I can really, really upgrade the rig to a point that it would exceed what a next gen console is going to be able to do with Cyberpunk. But I'm going to start it, I would assume, on the PlayStation 4 and then switch over to playing it on PlayStation 5 with, you know, slightly better textures and all that stuff once the PlayStation 5 comes out. That's my expectation with Cyberpunk. My PC can run it, but it's going to look better on a PlayStation 5 than it's going to look on my PC.
I'm in a weird place because I know I'm going to spend some money. It's just the question of when.
Right.
like I've been talking to you about the fact that I'm going to spend some money. It's just a question of how long do I wait? And right now, I can't believe I'm about to say this because Sam's going to have a heart attack.
Let me jump in on you really quick just so I can put it in the context of the new NVIDIA cards. The NVIDIA announced the 3000 series or the 30 series, however you say it, I don't even know. But the 3070, 3080, and 3090, which are all ridiculous. The 3090 has 24 gigs of graphic memory, which is just boggles my mind, right? Like the 3070 has 8 gigs, the 3080 has 10. They're all beasts, and they come with that price point. The 3070, which is the low end of those, obviously, is $500. And so the cheapest one of these new NVIDIA cards is the same price as a Series X. And what I'm going to assume at this point is a PlayStation 5 price point. We'll have that confirmed soon. But that's the lowest one of these new cards. The 3080 is $700, and the 3090 is a whopping $1,500. And so, you're paying for that power, but they are ridiculous graphic cards.
I reiterate, Sam's going to have a heart attack. But you and I don't have time to build a new rig before Cyberpunk comes out on November 19th. We're just not going to get there. It's not going to happen. So right now where I'm sitting with Cyberpunk is I don't want to play it unless I can play it and make it look real good. Like, I don't want to play it on my rig as currently constituted, right?
Sure.
So now I'm thinking it's going to drop. Lots of people are going to play it. And I think I'm going to let them tell me how wonderful it is before I hand you the credit card and say go, because that's going to happen. It's just a question of when and how, where do we find time to do this. And I have to tell you, since you brought up the NVIDIA cards, I watched that NVIDIA, whatever that thing was called.
Yeah, from the kitchen.
I watched all the stuff this week, NVIDIA from the kitchen. And when I was done watching that, it's completely insane. But I said the same thing that Sam said, which is, I want a 3090.
Yeah.
It's nuts, but I want it.
Of course.
Although I'm a hardware whore, I am. And I'm totally okay with that. But normally I have some sort of self-control. I saw this thing, and I'm like, I must have that.
Yep.
And I'm not going to spend that money. I'm just not. I'm probably going to end up with a 3080, most likely. But I really want that 3090. I really don't normally feel that way about NVIDIA cards.
Yeah. That one says screw 4K. That thing's 8K out of the box, which again is just nuts. But whatever. That's,
yeah.
You're gonna spend $1,500 on it. It better do 8K.
Well, and my thing is, Because my 1080 right now will play anything that's out there. I don't put anything in my computer at this point and feel like I have to turn anything down.
Yep.
And I think the only thing that is even making me think about upgrading at this point is Cyberpunk, because that's all that's coming.
Yep.
Like, that's it. No offense to anybody else, but whatever you got that you're bringing, I can run it with what I've got. So my question about the 3090 is, yeah, 8K is coming, and there's going to be those screens, and there's going to be all that, but realistically, for the next 4 or 5 years, is there any benefit to that card versus 3080? And that's what I've been trying to figure out all week.
Yeah, I can't imagine practically what that would be, and especially to justify twice the price, really, right? $700 to $1,500. You'd have to do something to convince me that I can't imagine right now, unless you've just got, again, multi more thousands of dollars, or already have everything else you need to back that thing up. Because the card itself isn't going to get you super far if you don't have a screen to plug it into, right? Or if you don't have the rest of the processing power that you need in a PC just to support the thing. And so, yeah, I mean, you're looking at a $4,000 or $5,000 investment at that point to get everything else in line with the card if you don't already have that. And again, chances are you don't, because there's nothing else that needs that yet.
And the funny thing is, I looked at chips when you and I started talking about this. The new Intel 10 series is like less than $400. Like, you can get a brand new 10th generation Intel chip for less than $400. And you have to have that because the processor is the bottleneck.
Yeah.
Like, I've been looking around trying to figure out if I could just slap a 3080 into my system. And I could do it, I think, but I think it would choke on my processor.
Sure.
I don't know that, but I think it probably would.
Yeah. You would assume just because it's a 4-year-old processor or whatever it is.
So back to my original question, I don't know how long I'm going to wait to pick up Cyberpunk, and I'm jealous for you people who your hands work.
Right.
And you'd be able to pick up a Series S and be playing it day one, and it look really, really good on a, well, not on a 4K screen, because S won't do 4K. But point still stands.
Yes.
That's a really cheap way to get Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Doing it at 1440 is still going to be darn pretty.
Does the S have ray tracing?
It says it does. Obviously, that was a big question that popped up through it all. There's a spectrum of what ray tracing is, and so it's not a binary thing that either it is or it isn't. So it will have some capability to do ray tracing again. To what level, and when you compare it to a Series X, it would be an interesting comparison. Which, by the way, I mean, we're not entirely sure how well the PlayStation 5 will do it either. It does do it, but the Series X seems like the one of the three now that we know about that's most well suited for that. So, super quickly, just to circle back to the PlayStation with the price point of the Series X and the Series S now, that we have a $500 and $300 Xbox. PlayStation should at any point, and I think the speculation now is probably sometime next week, announce the price point for the PlayStation 5. My guess, especially now seeing Microsoft's price point, is that they'll come out with the PlayStation 5 being $499 as well, and then the digital version being $399. And so you will have the kind of two top end will be at the same price point, and then the two lower, lesser, however you want to define that, consoles being separated by that $100. But the difference being is that there won't be a difference between the power, graphical processing, anything, solid state drive in the PlayStation Digital version than there is in the standard PlayStation 5, which there is that difference in the Xbox between the Series X and the Series S. And so it's this kind of weird thing that Microsoft can boast that their kind of lower tier console is going to be cheaper, again, if this is where the prices land, than the PlayStation lower tier console is. But the PlayStation lower tier console isn't a lower tier console in the same way that the Microsoft console is a lower tier. It's going to be a nightmare for people who are not like following this closely. And I think it's one of the smart things Microsoft has done, because I have a hard time believing that Sony's going to be able to put out that, even the digital version of the PlayStation 4 at $300. Like, just, there's no way, right? And so Microsoft has undercut Sony if that's the case. And for a lot of people, it doesn't matter. Again, if you don't have a 4K screen, it kind of doesn't matter. And so then at that point, if you're going, okay, well, I got to get one of these for my kid or whatever. I hate using that example for my kid, because we're the gamers at this point. I don't know how many people are buying Xboxes for their kids. Their kids play on phones, you know? Like, we are the generation that plays console games, and we are adults. But even then, you know, like, if you're just wanting to play games with your friends and you see, oh, the Xbox is $300, the PlayStation $400, I'll go pick up an Xbox. I can play Call of Duty and Madden and all those things. And, oh, by the way, you know, you get Game Pass, and now you get Madden for 10 hours and blah, 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 whatever. I think that's really smart of Microsoft. I think they've positioned themselves well. I think Sony, at a $400 price point for a digital PlayStation 5, is also a great price point. But it's always going to be compared to that lower-tier Xbox, fairly or unfairly.
So I'm assuming you already said you're going all digital for the PS5.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have any need for a disc drive specifically.
Right. So you have the cheaper Xbox, you have the cheaper PlayStation, and the PlayStation, even though Game Pass is on the Xbox, the PlayStation, I think, is where you're still going to spend most of your time. Although Game Pass is going to make it harder.
It is. And that's, yeah, like, that's a legit question. I'm going to spend more of my quality time. I don't know if that's the right term, but I would expect the games that I enjoy more are going to be the PlayStation games. But the console I'd probably play more often, just because of Game Pass, would probably be the Xbox. I am perfectly fine with those two things coexisting. I don't have any problem with that. But it does feel kind of strange.
I'm sorry. I have Martin Lawrence in my head from Bad Boys talking about quality time. Gotta get some quality time.
That's fair. It's a weird place. We'll talk about that more hopefully next week. Hopefully by next time we do a show, we'll know the PlayStation 5 price point and can go into that a little bit deeper. Really quickly, Game Pass, just to put a button on all things Microsoft here. Game Pass for PC is officially going up in price. It will be $10 a month as opposed to $5 a month, which we knew it was coming. We've talked about it on the show. This is still technically Game Pass beta on PC, and so the $5 a month was a promotional price that they talked about a year and a half ago, whatever it was that it started. So, okay, it's going up to $10 a month. For me, that's still a no-brainer, and it's been kind of expected. I mean, I don't love it. I mean, I don't love paying more money for something I already have, but the service is worth $10 a month, and so... Yeah, for me, that's not a big deal. I would love to hear some of your thoughts.
it's not a big deal, and I'm going to pay the $10 a month. The issue that I have is, if you're going to charge me $10 a month, you got to improve some stuff, because you complained about the way you're getting games, and then you got the app, and you said, this is much better, right? We talked about that last show. I have been running on the app the whole time, and it is much better than going to the Microsoft store. However, they got problems, and Epic's got the same problem. Everybody that's not Steam has all the same problems. First of all, especially with what's coming up, with everybody and their dog going to Game Pass because of this deal that they have going on with the S. You have got to be able to move games between drives. You've got to be able to do that. Because I've got so much stuff installed, and that's a great thing about Steam, is that I have like 4 Steam libraries. And I'm just swapping games between the libraries. Because I'm like, okay, I'm not playing this now, and I got to download this new thing. So I'm going to move this over here. And it's just a must at this point. And then yesterday, I should be in a whole lot better mood than I am. Because yesterday, The Outer Worlds got an expansion, right? That came out yesterday. And I was really, really, really excited. Really excited. I was going to be happy when this show started. But here's what happened. First, I downloaded a 30-gig patch, which... Now that I understand that that is actually the expansion, that's cool. But the problem is the guys at Obsidian made everybody download this 30-gig patch whether you buy the expansion or not. Okay? Again, I'm cool with that because it's just hard drive space. Here's the problem with Game Pass. So, I figure out that the expansion itself is not on Game Pass. You gotta pay for that. And I'm like, cool, because I need to give Obsidian some money. And if you didn't know, that is correct. It's not on Game Pass.
Which, by the way, can I say that sucks? Because they showed off that expansion in the event where they said everything was on Game Pass. Like, just as a little thing, like, I was really annoyed by that it's not, I mean, I haven't got anywhere close to it, but just seeing that it's not, you get a discount, like, it's 10% off or something if you have Game Pass, but the fact that it's not included on Game Pass when they included in that event that they bragged about everything being on Game Pass, that annoyed me.
It is not on Game Pass, and I looked last night because I was trying to figure out if it was before I bought the expansion pass. And it's been very clear for a year, based on Google, that it was not going to be on Game Pass. You and I just ignored that part. And so, anyway, I go to buy the expansion pass, or whatever they call it. Because the expansion pass is like $22. Because you get the discount. So by the time you pay for the expansion pass, you get like $5 off both of the expansions that are coming. Because there's one more besides this one that is a story-based expansion. So I bought the season pass or whatever it is. And I paid with PayPal. And I get a receipt from Microsoft that says, cool, thanks for giving us money. You now own this. I go back to the app. And I go back to the Outer Worlds expansion. And all I have is the option to buy. And I'm like, I just bought this. I'm not doing that again. And even when I went to my receipt and clicked on the link that it just told me I bought the thing, it opens up the Microsoft Web Store and it says, buy this here. And I'm like, I just bought this. So I reboot the app, thinking, okay, I gotta reboot the app, it's all good. And it reboots and it comes up, and it still doesn't say I own it. So I'm like, I'm getting a little upset here. Because I just gave them $20. And if you want to read what was going through my head, I posted it on Facebook last night. So if you want to go by and check that out, that's on the Gaming Uncensored group. So because I'm an IT professional by trade, I said to myself, I'm just going to see what happens if I reboot Windows. So I reboot Windows. And I boot up the Xbox app, and it says you now own all this stuff. Now, why on earth did I have to reboot my entire freaking computer to make the stuff I bought show up? Why?
Yeah.
And this audio looks horrible, and I'm sorry, sir, but I'm angry. I don't understand. Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
And I understand that we are spoiled by Steam. I get it. But guys, if you're going to go up $5 a month, which you deserve to go up $5 a month because you've got a good thing going, but you got to fix this stuff.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, I've ran into an issue with it where, like, games I've installed just disappear that I have to reboot the Xbox app just to get them to show up, and I might have to do that two or three times. A couple times I just said screw it and went to the game on my computer, you know, and opened it directly from the folder and not even from the app, and it worked fine. But like, even like, or it shows up and then I click to play it, it's like, oh, there's an error with the, you know, the installation. I'm like, no, there's not, I was just playing it, you know, whatever, and then go to the folder. Yeah, it's still rough around the edges, in a way that you're absolutely right. Something like Steam isn't, because Steam has been refining and refining and refining for years. These other guys need to catch up a little bit. But it's not awful by any means. That Xbox app is fine if they can get around the stuff. And I agree. If you're charging me more, my expectations of user friendliness are going to go up. But.
And look, I... You have a good service. It's worth $10 a month. I know I'm being nitpicky. I get it. But if I'm going to give you more money, this stuff's got to work.
Yeah.
Because I should have, I planned to play 2 hours of the Outer Worlds expansion last night, and I was so excited. Because I'm like, I'm going to get to play this for the show, and then I can talk about it. But no, what did I do? I spent the 2 hours trying to get the thing to show up.
Yeah.
I mean, for crying out loud, guys. It's like I said, really great service. You just got to work on this.
Yep. Absolutely. And I'm sure if you're doing it on console, you probably don't run into those bugs as much because they've refined it more on console because that's where their focus is.
So since we're on Game Pass, here's a question that I have. Is the PC Game Pass going to continue to be the PC Game Pass, or for that price, are we going to have some sort of PC Game Pass Ultimate, like we have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate? Or could you pay $15 a month and get something else? That's what I want to know, is when are we going to get to the Ultimate part of the PC Game Pass?
Yeah.
Like, because from those that have it, the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate is a no-brainer. So what I'm wondering is, are we going to get an upgrade with the PC Game Pass that they haven't really talked about because they're not real sure about it yet?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the only big thing that the Ultimate does differently that I know of with the console version, somebody correct me if I'm wrong here, is that it also includes your Xbox Live Gold membership. But like, as far as games, what you have access to, maybe I'm sure there's some like little special perks here that there's probably some content that you get on Ultimate that you don't get on the standard, but like, there's not games that are specific to Ultimate that you don't get on the standard version on the console. And so, yeah, it's, ultimately, this is just, are you going to bring us more games to the PC? If that's a, I would actually not be happy if that were a different service. I hope they just keep it one service and just bring us more games. Like, I don't want it to be tiered in a way that doesn't seem to be need to be tiered. And I would guess with next gen hardware for Microsoft that they'll get rid of the tiered thing on console. Obviously, if they're getting rid of Xbox Live Gold, of needing that Xbox Live subscription to do online games, that obviously you don't really have a need for Ultimate. Again, that's my understanding of it. I may be missing something there, but I think that's the case. And so I would actually hope that they will simplify it down, that you'll just have Ultimate that you could get on a console for $15 a month, or if you don't have a console, you can do the PC for $10 a month. But if you have Ultimate, you get the PC included with it, which you do right now. So that would be one thing with that payment plan. Going back to that talk, like, we're paying $10, we're about to be paying $10 a month for Game Pass on PC. But if you get the you know, $25 Series S, that's going to come with that Game Pass Ultimate subscription that will cover your PC subscription. So now you're not paying that $10 a month on PC. So really, now you're just paying $15 a month comparatively. That even sounds like a better deal for, you know, people that are in our situation that are doing Game Pass on PC but don't have an Xbox at this point. So yeah, I just sold myself even more on a Series S when I think about it as being a $15 a month investment.
I think basically what we've said is that we've determined what you and I are doing for Christmas, which what we did about 10 years ago for Christmas, which is running around town trying to find an Xbox.
Yes.
I can see that happening again.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Really quickly, just a couple other things before we wrap up. Like I mentioned, there was a Ubisoft Forward event today that they did have quite a few announcements in. I don't think anything super massive, but a few worth mentioning. One is that they're doing a remake of Prince of Persia Sands of Time, which was a really, really fun game 17 years ago. I was super disappointed in what the visuals look like for it. Like, it doesn't look current gen, much less next gen. And for a remake, like, I have now Final Fantasy VII as my, like, standard of what a remake should look like, a true remake, not a remaster, but a remake. This is not that. Like, it still looks fun, and if it comes to Game Pass or whatever, I'll play it. Yeah, I want it to look prettier because I have high expectations for games. Gods and Monsters, which we saw at E3 a year ago, that was basically the Breath of the Wild knockoff, has a new name. It's now called Immortals Phoenix Rising, for what that's worth. It still is very much a Breath of the Wild knockoff. I'll wait to see what the reviews are. If it's good, then cool. Like, I love some Breath of the Wild. This is obviously not Breath of the Wild, but maybe, you know, a fun little kind of scratch that itch thing. By the way, we probably won't get to it. Nintendo announced that there's a new Hyrule Warriors coming out, and so not a Zelda game in the kind of traditional Zelda fashion, but is 100 years before the events of Breath of the Wild. And so it gives you kind of the history of what happened before, you know, the events of Breath of the Wild, before Link wakes up from this 100-year nap or whatever. Sam Fisher showed up as a character in Rainbow Six Siege, right? Like, you get Sam Fisher, which this leaked or was announced or something weeks ago, and so not a huge surprise here, but still a bummer that, like, hey, look, it's Sam Fisher, but we're not giving you any Splinter Cell. So, yeah, thanks, guys. New Just Dance, cool. Far Cry coming to VR, but only at zero latency VR locations, which I didn't even know was a thing, but it's like these places. There's one somewhere here in Dallas. I looked it up. That is like just a massive room that you can go with a bunch of friends and like play VR games in like just a big warehouse where you're like running around in real space with VR headsets, like shooting at each other. And it's like $50 an hour. It's ridiculous.
That doesn't seem safe at all.
No, it does.
But we got to try it.
There's a legit waiver you sign at that place. I promise that. Now you could do that with Far Cry. This Far Cry VR is called Dive Into Insanity. And it looks like it's around the story of Far Cry 3 with, I forget the dude's name, but the real creepy villain guy that's so well known for Far Cry.
Nacho!
Nacho.
That doesn't end Nacho from Breaking Bad. I know, because I just reinstalled it.
It is. Yeah. I don't think I'd ever put that together before, but that's the dude. Man, that's nuts. Huh. And then really quickly, a couple of Nintendo things. The 35th anniversary of Mario is happening. And so we had heard these rumors about some new Mario stuff or some re-releases of Mario stuff. This is now official. Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which is Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy, all in a single package for $60. Not remade. This is important here. Super Mario 64 still looks like Super Mario 64. They haven't upgraded graphics, textures, anything like that, which to me was kind of a bummer because one of the rumors was it was going to be a remake. And like I was thinking modern graphic design. And so it's not that. But what's also a bummer, and this is super strange, is that the release here of Super Mario 3D All-Stars is a limited release. It'll be available starting next week, I think, a little over a week, but only through March of next year. And so if you don't buy it by March of next year, what they're telling us, at least right now, is that they're going to then stop selling it. If you buy it, you'll be able to play it past that point and re-download and all that kind of stuff, but you won't have an opportunity to buy it after that point, which is just super strange to me. Like, I don't quite understand why you're doing a limited release of a game. It's only, it says a limited run retail edition and a digital edition that's just available for a limited time. So theoretically, you could pick up a cartridge after March 2021 on a resale market. But why are you doing a limited release? I just don't get it.
I have a theory that Nintendo has something cooking, folks. I don't know what it is. I have no idea because I watched this whole thing. I spent a lot of time on YouTube.
I'm very proud.
This week.
No, that's great.
And I watched the whole thing. The only thing I missed was Yubi. I got everything else. And so I was being a reasonably well put together host of a gaming podcast. And I watched this thing. And they said that several times during this thing that they kept popping up and Cabbage posted about it. And I just really feel like Nintendo has something cooking. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I get this feeling that Nintendo's about to do that Wii thing again where we're like, yeah, they got Animal Crossing, and they're going to ride that till it dies. And then where's Nintendo going to be? How, you know, what are we going to do about Nintendo? Because they're not in the good place, because Animal Crossing's all they got, and they're not doing anything. I think we're coming up on that, where they're going to release something, and it's going to be just like the Wii and the Switch and the last two or three consoles where we go, holy crap, they did it again.
Yep.
I don't know what that is. Do you have any ideas?
The rumor that's circulating that's been picking up some steam recently is that they have like a Switch XL coming or something that's going to be a higher performance Switch that's supposed to come out sometime next year. That one rumor I read said that we'll be able to do 4K, which obviously would be a pretty significant upgrade of what the current Switch is. And so that very well could be in that kind of end of March time frame could align with that. And then they would re-release this, you know, Super Mario's 3D World thing as like, now you can buy it on the Switch XL and it's these features and you can still have it on the Switch or whatever. I wouldn't be surprised to see them do something like that. And they're just trying to build some hype or whatever with this limited release thing. They also announced this Battle Royale, which is kind of fascinating, a Super Mario Battle Royale. That's like, you just play the original Mario with a bunch of other people to see who can survive the longest. But it's also not only just a limited release, like it's a limited playtime. The game will only be playable. This is straight from Nintendo's website. The game will only be playable until March 31st, 2021, which, again, is just kind of bizarre. Like, fine.
And isn't that long from now?
No, it's not. Like it actually, like, of Battle Royales, like, that's one that I could see myself actually spending some time in. But, like, if you're just shutting it down March 2021, like, I don't want to get invested in it, you know? Like, it just is whatever. So, and they announced a Game & Switch Mario, which Game & Watch, excuse me, Game & Switch, which is accurate in a lot of ways, I suppose. But Game & Watch Mario handheld, that'll have the original Super Mario, and then Super Mario 2 The Lost Levels, which is the true sequel, not the Super Mario Brothers 2 that we know here in the United States with all that weirdness. But it'll have the true sequel as well on there, on a little Game & Watch handheld, which is super cute and cool. And it's coming November 13th. I don't think they're stopping selling that one in March. I haven't seen that confirmed anywhere, but yeah.
So one thing that I saw, and I thought it was in the Super Mario 35, but apparently I was wrong. One of these packages actually has those original games with upgraded visuals. Because I saw it, like, they in the thing, they showed video of the original. I mean, not, like, super, super upgraded visuals, but, like, original Super Mario, and it looked different.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure. I know I saw it, and they said it was one of those packages, but I can't find now which one it was.
Yeah.
So... lots of strange yes. things going on over there.
Yes, for sure.
And Miyamoto is like giggling and like rubbing his hands together going, I'm going to get him again.
They're Nintendo. They don't care. And they will. Yeah. So good for them. Really quick, super fast on releases. A couple to mention. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, the remake, is out. 89 on Metacritic. That's solid. That makes me really excited. I was hoping they didn't screw it up, and it looks like they didn't screw it up. So NBA 2K21 has a 58, which is not great. The Avengers game, I want to say, is right around the 70. That's officially out now. So if you want to go play Avengers, yeah, 68 on PlayStation 4, which usually is the lower, and so probably around the 70 on PC or Xbox. And so not awful, not great. Again, maybe they'll drop that on like PlayStation Plus 1 month in 6 months or a year, and then play some more Avengers at that point. So whatever it is, or get it for nice and cheap on Steam during a sale or something like that. So there was a couple of Steam releases I was going to mention. Crusader Kings 3 is out, which is also on Game Pass, so you can pick that up there. And then there was one more, and I don't remember what it was. Oh, Kingdoms of Amalur has a re-reckoning, is what they're calling it, but they're kind of re-release on that. And so if you never got into that the first time around, you get another chance for that as well. So there you go. Game releases, go play video games because they're awesome.
Yes, they are awesome, and we still play them, believe it or not.
Every once in a while.
We love video games, and we got a lot of good stuff coming. And we got decisions to make. I think the funny thing is, I think we're both going to end up with a Series S, whether we need it or not, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And especially if you get the PC Game Pass included in your subscription. That'll get me right there. So... I think we're both gonna have that. It's a good time to be a gamer. Cyberpunk is coming, boys and girls. No more delays. We did not have that in the show notes, but
that's what they say.
Locked down. The 19th, there it comes, and Sam is eagerly waiting. And Sam, all I have to say to you is that if you do put a 3090 in your rig, we got to see some video of something somewhere.
Yes. Give us some more of those sexy screenshots. I love his posting of like control screenshots with the reflections and the ray tracing and everything else. Yeah, give us lots and lots of those.
Yes, yes, because we're probably too old to spend that much money on a 3090. Although I really want one, which, by the way, Christmas is coming. Duff, if you're feeling like happy, we haven't heard from you in a while. We're not sure if you're dead, but I literally haven't gotten a text from you in like a month. And I'm talking to him right now because I know he's listening, laughing. send us a text, send us some money, send us something stupid to let us know you're not dead. Because it's been a while, and this show is brought to you by Duff. It will probably be perpetually brought to you by Duff.
Absolutely.
Because he does weird and crazy things and gives us lots of great stuff. All of that being said, the rest of you people know where everything is. We got the Facebook. We got the Twitter. I'm on the Twitter on a regular basis now. Not the show Twitter, because I don't have access to that. But I am on my Twitter, and that's entertaining. I do use TweetDeck, so if you wanted to give me access to the show Twitter,
there you go.
I could be added to that as well. I'm figuring out the Twitter, sir.
Very nice.
And it's getting entertaining. So y'all know where all of that is. Before we wrap up, I have to say, we said it a couple weeks ago, if you are new to the show, or even if you're not and you haven't in a while, go to iTunes and anywhere else that has reviews and write us a review. I looked, I don't think Spotify has reviews, but we know for a fact that iTunes has reviews. And we need them. Unless you think we suck. In which case, don't say anything.
Yeah.
I think we're still perfect on iTunes.
I haven't checked in years, to be honest with you.
I'm fairly certain we're still perfect on iTunes. I will check that. But if you get a chance, go by there, write us a review on iTunes, because it could get us some new listeners. So we definitely need those. If you can get those to us. We also got the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And of course, if you call it, it will cut you off in 3 minutes. Call it back and we will splice it together. We will have a segment show at some point.
We will. We promise.
There's some Patreon content somewhere that is hidden on our hard drive somewhere that is going to be up at some point before we die. Yeah,
soon, hopefully. Sooner than before we die, hopefully.
Yeah, because, you know, that's getting closer and closer every day.
Yes.
but we got lots of stuff going on. It's a great time to be a gamer. Thank you guys so much for listening. Is there anything else, sir?
Yeah, I think we're good.
For now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.